Father God, you are good. And we do ask, Lord, that you would help us to know that you are present with us, that you're right here, Lord, and that you are the one who has brought us here together. I thank you, Father, that we can come together and worship you this morning. Lord, I pray that you would make yourself known to us, that you would be at work within us right now, O Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we look at what appears on the surface is just a lot of technical details, a lot of construction, that you would help us to see in and through that to you and your heart, O Lord God. Pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us this morning, O Lord God. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Amen. So this morning's passage, which is Exodus chapter 26, there are some very detailed instructions from the Lord on how to build the tabernacle. We looked last week in chapter 25, and God talked to us and showed His people how to build some of the articles that go inside of the tabernacle, inside of the holy place. We saw how he starts with the inside and works his way out, since he is a God of the heart, not of the outward appearances. We saw how he made things to prepare us to worship him and to draw us closer to him. And how the tabernacle foreshadowed so many things, the temple and heaven, but also the coming of Christ. And we'll see more of that today in the specific designs of the tabernacle. I know that it will seem as we're reading through the passage, there's a lot of details, which I love, because God laid out for His people exactly what to do. It may not seem as pressing for us today to know specifically how many hoops they need to make to hang, how many curtains, and what they're to be made of. But after we read through the passage, we'll look at what it all means. We'll look at what is this, what is the tabernacle? Why these very, very specific details for the tabernacle? So turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 26. Hear the word of the Lord. Make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, with cherubim worked into them by a skilled craftsman. All the curtains are to be the same size, 28 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. Join 5 of the curtains together and do the same thing with the other 5. Make loops of blue material along the edge of the end curtain in one set, and do the same with the end curtain in the other set. Make 50 loops in one curtain and 50 loops on the end curtain of the other set, with the loops opposite each other. Then make 50 gold clasps and use them to fasten the curtains together so that the tabernacle is a unit. Make curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle, 11 altogether. All 11 curtains are to be the same size, 30 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. Join 5 of the curtains together in one set and the other 6 into another set. Fold the 6th curtain double at the front of the tent. Make 50 loops along the edge of the end curtain in one set and also along the edge of the end curtain in the other set. Then make 50 bronze clasps and put them in the loops to fasten the tent together as a unit. As for the additional length of the tent curtains, the half curtain that is left over is to hang down at the rear of the tabernacle. The tent curtains will be a cubit longer on both sides. What is left will hang over the sides of the tabernacle so as to cover it. Make for the tent a covering of ram skins dyed red. and over that a covering of hides of sea cows. Make upright frames of acacia wood for the tabernacle. Each frame is to be 10 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide, with 2 projections set parallel to each other. Make all the frames of the tabernacle in this way. Make 20 frames for the south side of the tabernacle, and make 40 silver bases to go under them, 2 bases for each frame, 1 under each projection. For the other side, the north side of the tabernacle, make 20 frames and 40 silver bases, 2 under each frame. Make 6 frames for the far end, that is, the west end of the tabernacle, and make 2 frames for the corners at the far end. At these 2 corners, they must be double from the bottom all the way to the top, and fitted into a single ring. Both shall be like that. So there will be 8 frames and 16 silver bases, 2 under each frame. Make also crossbars of acacia wood, 5 for the frames on one side of the tabernacle, 5 for those on the other side, and 5 for the frames on the west at the far end of the tabernacle. The center crossbar is to extend from end to end at the middle of the frames. Gold rings to hold the to overlay the frames with gold, and make gold rings to hold the crossbars. Also, overlay the crossbars with gold. Set up the tabernacle according to the plan shown you on the mountain. Make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and finely twisted linen, with cherubim worked into it by a skilled craftsman. Hang it with gold hooks on 4 posts of acacia wood, overlaid with gold and standing on 4 silver bases. Hang the curtain from the clasp and place the Ark of the Testimony behind the curtain. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Put the atonement cover of the Ark of the Testimony in the most holy place. Place the table outside the curtain on the north side of the tabernacle, and put the lampstand opposite it on the south side. For the entrance to the tent, make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer. Make gold hooks for this curtain, and 5 posts of acacia wood overlaid with gold, and cast 5 bronze bases for them. This is God's Word. Now, for some of you, probably like Rod and myself, that's very helpful details. We like the construction details and the engineering nature of it. For others of you, maybe not as much. But these details do give us the ability to try to create an image of what the tabernacle looked like. And we're not positive, of course, because we don't know how it was embroidered and all of those things. But just as a sample here, this is from the ESV Study Bible, that this is, it's kind of blurry, sorry, but this is the tabernacle that was just described in this passage here. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that there will also then be a much larger courtyard, open courtyard, that will go around all of this. But so this is about 42 feet long, about 15 feet high. You can see the middle curtain hanging there, which is actually the part described in the very last part of the passage. And so this part in the front here would be considered the holy place. And then behind the curtain is called the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. And that's the curtain that separates the most holy from the holy place. Inside the Holy of Holies is where the Ark of the Covenant goes. That was one of the things that was described in last week's passage, the making of the Ark of the Covenant, which is going to hold the 2 stone tablets of the covenant, as well as later we'll see it hold some manna as a memorial, and also Aaron's staff that God did miracles through when they were coming out of Egypt. There's details for how the frames are to be made. There's details for what the curtain in the most holy and the curtain in the front are to be made of. And then also, the walls, the sides, there's four layers on the sides there, as described in this passage, that there is two linen and embroidered layers. Then there's also a layer made of goat hair, and there's also one made of the skin of sea cows, probably dolphins. So that's just the basic structure that we have for the tabernacle. Well, why? I mean, okay, it's great that he gives all these directions and all these instructions for it, but what is the purpose of the tabernacle, and what does some of this symbolism mean? We advertised today that there will be a focused sermon, so we're going to try to focus this. I think that's shorthand for shorten because of the heat. So we'll try to just look at the symbolism of the tabernacle. I want to look at three different symbols here. One, as we mentioned last week, the tabernacle is a picture of creation and of looking back towards creation and a picture looking forward to creation restored, the new creation. So it looks back to the Garden of Eden. A lot of the symbolism there points to the Garden of Eden. And it also then looks forward to heaven and the descriptions of heaven. And so every day when you had the tabernacle in the midst of you, you would have this picture of the very beginning of creation and also where we're going to a restored creation, which is another a way of looking at heaven. And so we see in this tabernacle here that they're weaving in, embroidering in pictures of cherubim. So there are pictures of angels embroidered on the tabernacle. Just as in the Garden of Eden, there are two cherubs now with flaming swords that guard the east gate, the east entranceway into the Garden of Eden when our parents were exiled from it. So we now see cherubim woven into the fabric of the tabernacle itself, of the curtain of the tabernacle, having that parallel there. We looked last week at one of the implements, one of the furnishings of the tabernacle. Remember that elaborate lampstand, right, that had all these arms that they were talking about as branches. Well, that's a picture there of the tree of life. It's representing the presence of God, but it's also it's shape of a tree. And so it's pointing us back to the tree of life, knowing God is the author of all life. Inside the Ark of the Covenant, we place the tablets of the covenant, which are God's law, the Ten Commandments written on those tablets. And so it brings us back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just these little symbolisms here that are woven into the tabernacle. This picture of creation. As we said, there's kind of four parallels. We have the Garden of Eden, we have the tabernacle here, just showed some of the parallels there. The temple will then mirror these same things, and then the descriptions of heaven also mirror these things. They're going to the place where we go to meet with God. It's a picture of creation. Secondly, the tabernacle is to represent a palace for Israel's king / God, who are one. It is to be a palace. And so this is the place from which God reigns. The scriptures talk about on the Ark of the Covenant there sits the mercy seat. The cover is called the mercy seat. And it says God is enthroned on the mercy seat. This is His throne room. The Holy of Holies is God's throne room where He dwells and reigns and rules over all nations. This is His palace. We see woven into the fabric, again, these colors. Right? This very specific what colors are to be woven in. And so we have the purple yarn, purple linen, representing the king, the royalty. God is the king. There's blue woven in there. And the blue is a color for representing that He is divine, that He is God also. Then there's also scarlet. There's red and scarlet throughout the whole tabernacle, reminding us that we come into the presence of the King through the blood. Through the sacrifice of blood is the only way that we can enter in to His presence because of our sinfulness. And so all these colors and all the setup of the whole tabernacle reminding people, well, wait a minute, we do have a King. And He's right here with us. He's ruling and reigning right here. And they see that every day as they go about their lives, as they look at the tabernacle. A palace for God, for Israel's God King. Third and final symbolism I want to bring out this morning is the tabernacle is Yahweh's house. It's intended to be a dwelling place. That's what the word tabernacle means. It is actually His dwelling. And so God is going to dwell in the midst of His people. And so His tent is one of many tents. It's an elaborate tent. It's much larger than the individual tents, but His people, when the tabernacle gets set up, His people, they all, and He gives very specific instructions for who goes where, His people set up their tents around Him. So as they are in their homes, this is God's home. God is with them. He is not far off. He is dwelling and living and moving amongst them every day. And if they have homes, so God has a home right in the middle of them. He would tent. He would tabernacle. He would dwell with them. We see in God's house that there's furniture. Some of those implements that we looked at last week, they're pictures of furniture here. And there'll be other ones too outside in the courtyard. So take, for example, the table of the presence, which is to have the bread offering on it. And so here in God's house, we're invited to dinner. We're invited to have a meal with God, to come and dwell with Him and be Him. He invites us over to His home for dinner because He's dwelling right in the midst of it. And we get to have that type of intimate fellowship with God. We looked last week and saw that part of the symbolism of that table there, it's God who provides our food for us, but that we get to come together with God. And here we get to come together for a meal with our King and with our God as He tabernacles, as He dwells with us. It also has the lamp. And the lamp we show represents God's presence and represents also the tree of life. But it's also an implement you find in any home for seeing. It brings light. And it's just any home would have a light, would have a lamp. We see Jesus make reference to that in the New Testament also. Just in people's homes you have lamps. And so in God's home, He has a lamp. Oftentimes, still in the New Testament time, homes would be built in this sort of two-level way, that there would be kind of a back area that would be the sleeping quarters and the dwelling quarters for the family. Then there'd be an area in the front that would be for gathering together and gathering other people together. And it's the same design that God has for His tabernacle. The tabernacle, it's a place where we go to see God and remember who God is. It's a place where we go to bow down before our King and our God. And it's a place we go to fellowship with our Lord. To fellowship as our God dwells with us and we dwell in the midst of Him. Ultimately, as we come to a conclusion here, ultimately, all of this is pointing towards our true tabernacle, our true dwelling place. We read last week, and then Michael read the quote from it in Hebrews chapter 8, that God said, make everything according to the pattern I've shown you. We looked at that word pattern last week and say that helps us to see that the tabernacle itself isn't the final thing. It's pointing towards something else. Because it's only a pattern. It's an image pointing us to something that is deeper, that is more, that is true. And so the tabernacle itself is only a pointer. And it's a pointer to our true tabernacle, which is Jesus. That Jesus is our tabernacle. He is our dwelling place. In John chapter 1, we have this beautiful language of who Jesus is and how it relates to the tabernacle that God called His people to build. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling, His tabernacling, the same word, among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, Jesus, became flesh, and what did He do? He tabernacled with us. That God would come and dwell with you and I. God incarnate to live and dwell with us. And then, in John 14, we have the fulfillment of the promise where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, where you will then come and dwell with me. And we will be one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's that passage in John chapter 14, where Jesus then is inviting us and calling us to dwell with Him. He came to dwell with us, and by going to the cross and dying for us, we now tabernacle with Him. And we can enter into the presence of God because of Jesus Christ. In the tabernacle, there was this, and then in the temple also, an everyday picture of God is separate from us. The curtain would hang between the holy place and the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant was, where God's throne is. And that curtain separated you. You were in God's presence, but separated from God because of our sins. But now, because of Jesus Christ, in conclusion here, to wrap this up, because of Jesus Christ, we can enter into the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Jesus, His body represents that curtain. And when He died on the cross, remember what happened to the curtain in the temple? It was torn in two. And there's a dual meaning there. One is God's judgment, but also it's now we can enter into the presence of God. That curtain that blocked us, separated us, because of Jesus, is now open. The path between us and God is open because of Jesus Christ, who is our true tabernacle. Every day the people would see the tabernacle. They'd go and worship in the tabernacle. They'd bring their offerings and sacrifices to the tabernacle to be with God, to know who He is, and be reminded and point forward to an eternity promised with Him, and a Messiah who would come. We now look back at the Messiah who fulfills all the symbolism and all the promises of the tabernacle, that Jesus Christ is our true tabernacle. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your beautiful symbolism, for the specifics You gave to Your people that they could actually build Your tabernacle. Thank You, Lord, for
all the ways that you present yourself in the midst of it. For you truly are our God and our King and the Creator and the Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, that you are our God and we are your people, not because of us, but because of your grace and your love and your mercy to us, O God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to trust in you, to believe in you and follow you, O Lord God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.